Ramban Parshas Kiseitze. So the Parsha begins with the Parsha of Yufas Tor, which is when the Jews go to war, and if someone finds a lady that he's interested in marrying from the nation that they're attacking, so he can take her as a wife. So first thing Ramban tells you is it says v'chashaktaba, you are interested in her, you desire her. So the Ramban says, we don't understand. The Aleph base of this story is, this is not a good thing. If you don't desire her, if you just think like, oh, this is a nice place to find a wife, no, this is not a nice place to find a wife. This is someone we're talking about, you're at war and people have a hard time to control themselves, so at least you're going to take her as a wife. If you're not interested in taking her as a wife because you're not like super desirous, then leave it. This is if someone has a strong desire, so then you could take them as a wife. And then, so we have, she's being forced, of course, so she has these unique dinim. So, again, this is what the Ramban's general thesis is. She's being converted. She gets brought back to the Yidden, to the Eretz Yisrael, or whatever, to the Jewish camp. She's forcibly converted. We don't normally do that in Yiddishkeit, there's such a thing. This is an exception. She's forcibly converted, and therefore we have to do a bunch of stuff. So she has this thing that she has to act differently for a month. So he has two different pshatim what this is about. The first one is that it's avelus. We took over her where she is from. So and now she's being taken back to a new country. So she needs a month of avelus. And the things she does are signs of avelus. Gilchas rosham asas tziparneha. And so she wears her almanus the clothes. She wears avelus the clothes and she cuts her hair. And according to the Ramban, asa tziprana, not like Rashi, according to the Ramban, that she cuts her nails. And these are signs of avelus. Now, of course, we know in avelus we do the opposite. We do not, if someone, bar minan's in avelus, for a relative, they do not cut anything. So some explain this is just either extreme is a sign of avelus, letting hair grow and nails grow crazy long, or shaving off all, you know, the hair and cutting the nail, you know, both of them are signs of avelus. But whatever it is, that's how the Ramban understands it, that she cuts off her hair and they shave her, then they cut her nails, and she sits in big day amanus. This is all to be in avelus. And it's 30 days because that's the zman of avelus. So that she could have avelus on her previous life and then she can move into the new life. The other pshat is that it's to make her not look pretty. And women are pretty, they have long hair, and then he says that the minhag of ladies is to grow their nails and color them with nail polish, right? This is, Rashi says that make it long is gross. So maybe Rashi probably meant very long, or whatever. But anyway, or it could be different lands for different things. But the Ramban is what we're more familiar with. The lady wants her nails to grow long and paints them, so she has beautiful fingernails and long hair. So she has to cut her nails and shave off her hair. This is to make her look not attractive. So that this way, maybe the Yid will change his mind about marrying her. And again, the Ramban emphasizes, this is talking about a Levi who is being forcibly converted. That's why we do this. If she's actually interested in converting, forget this whole parsha. She converts tomorrow, forget, you don't have to do any of this. This whole parsha of Yufas Torah is talking about a lady who's a captive. She's being forcibly converted and she wants to go back home and whatever. So that's the story. A lady who, if she decides she wants to be a Yid, then we don't do any of this. You can marry her lechatchila. There's none of this business. Okay. What's the purpose of the 30 days according to the Rambam? He quotes the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim that she needs 30 days to get over it. You know, we have chemla on her. And we don't want to force her to leave her dust. She has got 30 days to calm down about it. And the Ramban says, no, it's so she stops talking about Avodah Zarah, meaning 30 days after she's gone, this is man a break, and she won't she won't be thinking about her Avodah Zarah anymore. And then one last point about this, whether you're allowed to be boel her right away, so that's famous machlokas, and he brings that the Ramban assumes, like the Gemara in Kedushin on Chaf Aleph on Beis says that you can be Baaleha, be a Rishona, like in the field, if a person, when they're at war and he feels his taiva, so he can be Baaleha once, and then he has to do this whole parsha. But he brings a Rishalmi that says, no, you're actually not allowed to do anything until you do this whole parsha. So, and then it's a Machlokas Rishonim as well. Okay. So now, let's say, as the next pasuk continues, let's say you decide after 30 days of her being in Nevel and looking ugly that you're not interested in marrying her. So the pasuk says, V'shilach tela nafshas, and the Rabban understands that means you send her, you don't sell her, right? The pasuk says, so she doesn't need any kind of get. That's how the Rabban understands it. If you change your mind, she doesn't need a get. She just goes. And if you want to marry her, you're married. And then, you know, she's an ish's ish. So that's what it's an interesting thing that she's, if you decide you want to continue being married to her, so she's an ish's ish. If you decide you don't like her, she leaves like a lady who is nanas. Okay, and then we have the parasha of giving the Yerusha. So you have to give your oldest son a double portion. So the Ramban just clarifies that only if the children are deceased after the parents. So the parent dies first, then the oldest kid has to inherit a double portion. So if there's four brothers, it's like there's five brothers, and the oldest kid gets two. But what if the oldest son dies before the father dies? Then these halachas do not apply. Then you do not have to give the Bechor a double portion. And you will not be over a lav if the father gives his other sons the same amount. It's only if the father dies before the oldest son, then these all apply. Okay. Okay. Then we have the parsha of the Ben Sarah Mora. The Ben Sarah Mora is a young man, 13 years old. And he does not murder anybody. He just stole some meat and that kind of thing. Yet he gets killed. Why is he getting killed? For something that's not Chayav Misa. Rather, it's like the Ramban says, Le'yaser Sarabim. It's that everybody should be afraid that you can't do stuff like this. And that he shouldn't mess up other people, like the Gemara says, that eventually he'll end up growing into a Rasha. Because he's addicted to his stuff. His wine and his whatever. So the Ramban just says, this V'chol Yisrael V'yishmo V'yiro, whenever the Torah says that, that's a way of saying that these people were killed not because they did something that fits, not, the punishment they're getting does not fit the crime. It's just that everybody should, pay attention, take a lesson from it. So the Ben Sarah Mora, people should take a lesson from it. And the same thing by Edim Zomimin, because they didn't actually kill anybody. They just tried, but they didn't succeed. So why are they being killed? And the Zakin Mamre, why is he being killed? All these are because we need the public to know that these things are not acceptable and to stay away from it. Okay, then we say if someone gets Chit Mishpat Mavis, he has to be hung. That makes it sound like everybody gets hung who was killed by Beis Din, and that's not true. So Rashi mentions that somebody gets Skila gets killed. And the Ramban says, that's not true either. Very few specific people. Megadif and Ovid of Avodah Zarah. And I think Mevarech is Hashem. I guess that's kind of like Megadif. Oh, that is Megadif. Okay, so somebody who curses Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, or Ovid of Avodah Zarah, those guys get hung after they're killed. Nobody else. And that's why it says, Ki Kilas Elokim Tali. The Ramban explains, it means because people can say, what did this guy do? Oh, he cursed Hashem, or he worshipped Avodah Zarah. That's Kilalas Hashem, so therefore, that's why he gets hung. I don't even know if that's exactly, maybe that's not why they get hung. It's supposed to be that it's Bizayon to Hashem that such a thing happened. When people see they're hung and they say, why did this guy get hung? And they say, oh, because he did these things, so that's kind of Bizayon to Hashem. Which is Lashon Klala. But anyway, I'm not exactly sure, but they get hung, only them. Okay, then we have the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. And here we have a Yesod HaStek HaMachlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban about Tzar Bali Chaim, in general, the purpose of these mitzvahs, which is very important. So, it says that you should do Shiluach HaKein. What's the purpose of Shiluach HaKein? So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says it's that it's the same as the mitzvah of Oso Vespino, which is that you can't kill the mother and the son in the same day. So the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, those are the same reasons, that we shouldn't be cruel. And he says, because animals feel pain just like you feel fear worry is what his words are, daiga, just like humans, meaning there's no difference. The pain or the fear or the worry, his word again is worry, that an animal has when it sees its child being slaughtered is no different than a human's. In other words, it doesn't require big brains or even human intellect. It's an instinct that a human has and an animal has, and it's the exact same thing. So killing an animal in front of its mother, sounds like he's saying, would have the same feeling as killing a human son in front of its mother. So that's horribly cruel, and therefore that's why we're now allowed to do a shiloh haken. You got to get rid of the mother so it doesn't see, or you can't kill the mother and the son in the same day, so again it doesn't see. Okay, so obviously not every case of osav espino is going to fit that. I mean, what if you killed the mother first? Still also to kill the son. But okay, it means okay. So that's the concept, though. So and he says, and the Rambam says, and don't say I. It says I can't see that. Whoever says I can't see per yagirach mecha, we mishaskin. So we tell him to be quiet. Don't ask me from that. He says that's going according to the Mount Amr that there's no tam for mitzvahs. It's just a gezeiros of Hashem. And the same thing when it says it's a medrash. It says v'chi ma ich basol lakanish baruch bin shochet tzavel shochet min arav. What does God care if you slaughter from the neck or you slaughter from the back? And if you slaughter an animal from the back of its neck, it's no good. That's a puzzle. That's not a good shechita. If you go through the mafrekas, whatever the spine there. But you have to shecht from the front, through the, you know, like your normal shechita, cutting the siman first. Anyway, what does God care? So, halo nitnu mitzvos ela litzarif bem besabrius, the Medrash continues. So the Torah is only given, the mitzvos are only given, litzarif besabrius to, I don't even want to translate it. You should mean refine, like gold. You clean out the psolas from the gold. Okay, so he's saying that the Rambam seems to understand that's all a way of saying that the mitzvahs are given to us just because, and that's that mandamra that holds there's no reason for mitzvahs. It's just given to us as like things to do, to listen to Hashem, and this way we can get tzchar, but there's really no point in them. And we don't paskin like that. We go that there is a reason for mitzvahs, and that's what the Rambam's telling you. I think that's the Rambam. So the Ramban says, I agree with the Rambam in this fact that we say that there are tam for mitzvos. That's for sure. There is a reason for mitzvos. They're not just random things to do, but that Hashem gave us. But and the Ramban says, I disagree that those things you quoted, Rambam, hold otherwise. It's pashut. There's reasons to mitzvos. Everything Hashem said has a mitzvah. They're not just do stuff. And those Gemaras you quoted, that you read them wrong. When it says, whoever says, Al kan tzipa yagir rachamecha, we should tell him to be quiet. So you misunderstood that. What that's saying is that if Hashem did it because Hashem actually has rachmanus on the animal itself, which is kind of what the Rambam was saying, right? The Rambam said, can't do that to animals. They're feeling the same pain you are. So the Ramban says, no, that's not what it's talking about. That's what that Medrash is saying. Whoever says, I can't see begir rechamecha mishatskin or so, that means we tell him to be quiet because it's not because God has rachmanus on the chickens or the birds, whatever it is, on the robin, let's say. That's not the reason. It's because it's bad for you, meaning it looks to you bad, meaning you see yourself taking the eggs while the mother's still there, you're going to be a cruel person. If you shecht an animal in a way where you don't care to do it in the most painless way, like you're slaughtering it from the back when it's going to be much more painful to it, instead of slaughtering it with quickly and painlessly in the front, so you become a cruel person. It's for you. In other words, it's not that Hashem cared about the... It's not. In other words, because we're allowed to shecht animals, so it's not like Hashem has all this rachmanus on the animals. We're allowed to shecht an animal. This is not an animal rights thing, because they would say you can't slaughter animals, which is what they do say. No, we're allowed to slaughter animals. That's whoever says Al kan tzipa yagirach mecha mishaskin. So we don't believe that because we're allowed to slaughter animals, but we have to do it in the most painless way, or otherwise we become cruel. So you have to send the mother away, and you have to slaughter in the most painless way because you yourself, you the human, has to be a kind person. And he says another medrash about that all the mitzvahs are given the tzarefis habrios. Is that the same one? I forgot what I said already. I'm sorry. The one about shiduach hakein is just the Meshaskin. So the other one is, what is Hashem care if you shaft from throat to the fact? It's the Tzarev Zebrius. Anyway, the Rabban says that the Chiddush, when it says, Lo Nitna Torah El Tzarev Zebrius, it means to say it's to make us better, meaning, but not for God. It's not like Hashem needs it. Hashem doesn't need our mitzvos. It's to make us better. It's the Tov Lanu. He doesn't need us to do these mitzvahs. It's for our benefit, to make us better people, to give us char. It's not for him. Okay, then we have the parsha of the Motzi Shemra, where someone marries someone, and he comes and says, Hey, lo matzasi lebitcha psulin. So if he's lying, it's he's Motzi Shemra, and he has to pay $100. And he gets malchus. So, it says, Farsu es ha-simla. So Rashi says that means, Harez ha-mashal m'chulvaren ha-dvarim ka-simla. It's a mashal, meaning it's very clear. But the Ramban says, no, it means what it literally says. Farsu ha-simla means there was a simla. It doesn't mean a dress. It was a sudr that it used to be that when people got married, so someone would go in and check it before the chasan and kala went into their room to be together. Someone would check that nobody had any hidden cloths in there to prove that there was blood or wasn't blood. And then they'd put in a cloth there, and then they'd take that cloth to show that there was blood on it from the basulin, and then that's to parsu asimla. They would show it. And so the mother and father would take it, and that's to parsu asimla. So just the mushal means sometimes there was no be'ila, and the husband's just saying, there was no bias, and then it's a, there was no basulin, then it's a mushal, because there's no simla to show. But it does mean that there was an actual sudr that they would show. And he pays 100 kesef. Why 100 kesef? Because he was trying to get rid of her. In other words, he wants to get out of giving her a ksuva. A ksuva is 50 kesef. So we make him pay double, which is 100. And even though ksuva is only drabanan, so this, if it's double something that doesn't exist, how do you have double something that doesn't exist? So he said, okay, you're right, the chiyuv is not midaraisa, but there was always a concept of ksuva back then, and it was typically chamishim kesef. So therefore, he gets a knas, he gets to pay kefil, like all punishments in the Torah, like by when you steal. We do kefil, so it's kefil. And he says, it's very mistaver that this case must be there was a ksuva, because otherwise, you didn't find mishulam, and what do you want from me? So divorce her, you don't like her. It's because he wants to get out of the ksuva. So that's, it was, he said, it was, right, it's usually chamishim kesef, so this was double. Okay, then we have the story about a lady who is mezana or raped, Anara Marasa, so it depends if she's in the city, and she screamed. Anyway, the Ramban just says all that stuff, screaming, not screaming, city, field, it's deeper behoven. None of it is like actual xeris akasiv. He says if there's someone in the city, and she's being nanas, and she's crying and fighting the guy, and he's obviously being honest here, but she didn't scream. So that the halacha is different? No, there's nothing special about screaming. It's just, they said the Torah is deeper behovah, but it doesn't mean literally she has to dafka scream. Let's say in the fields, she wouldn't scream maybe because she didn't expect anybody, she didn't think anybody was there, nobody's going to help her anyway. No point in screaming. Anyway, all of it, none of it matters whether they actually screamed out. It just has to be whether you could tell it was a nanas or not. Okay, then we have the pasuk says, Lo yobo amoni moavi b'kal Hashem. You're not allowed to have an amoni moavi male, as we darshan, become into kal Hashem. Gam d'orai sri lo yobo lehem b'kal Hashem adol. They can never come into kal Hashem. Amoni, why not? Al dvar she'lo kidim lechem b'lechem mayim. Since they didn't come out to greet you with lechem and mayim, Baderech, when you were leaving Mitzrayim. Okay, so the problem with this is a problem if you've just read Chumash. Surely you've noticed this. There is a pasuk that says the exact opposite. In Perek Beis, pasuk Chav Ches and Chav Tes, here we're saying that Moab and Ammon did not come out and give us food. Meanwhile, when we wanted to cross into, I think it was Esav's territory, I forgot. We said, they're going to someone else. Because Asher Asulu bin Esav, Yoshim Beseir, and Moav. Yeah, it was with Sichon. When they wanted to go through Sichon, his land, they said, give us, you know, food, we'll buy from you food and water, just like the Moavim did, the Bnei Esav did. So what do you mean? We're saying here that they didn't. What's the difference? Which is it? They did or they didn't? So the obvious difference is one says they didn't kidmu eschem, they didn't come out to greet you. And over there it says they sold it to them. Okay, so maybe they just didn't come out to greet them, but they, when they came to them, they sold it to them. So the Ramban said, no, that's absolutely ridiculous. There's nothing, if they would sell it, then that would have been enough. Okay, so the other difference is, the Ramban explains is that different Amon and Moav, who are the ones who can't come to Kalash, and they did different things wrong. Pasuk earlier says, does not mention Amon. It says, Sichon, give us, we'll buy food and water from you, just like the Bnei Esav did for us, and like Moab did for us. It does not say like Amon did for us. So Amon was the one who did not give them Lechem Amayim. Moab did something else wrong. Moab hired Bilam to curse the Jews. That was Moab's problem. They had different things that did wrong. Amon was the one that did not give them food. Moab is the one that hired Bilam. So now you have to read our pasuk again. It says here in this parsha, Al dvar shelokin b'skam b'lechem b'mayim b'aderech b'teischem mitraim, comma, that's part one. And then, Masher sachar alechas Bilam ben Bor, part two. So part one was only talking about Amon, part two is only talking about Moab. And that doesn't fit, because the second part certainly is only talking about Moab. So then the first part was only talking about Amon. Okay, but nevertheless, the Ramban says that we are not allowed to take over their land, that Al Tiskar Bam is forever. It's not just alive in the times when they were there in the Midbar. We are not allowed, never allowed to take over the land of Amon and Moab. The only thing he adds, though, is that if they attack us, we can attack them back. Or if they conquered some other land, we can conquer that. It's just we can't take the land that Hashem gave to them that we can't take. Okay, then we have, when you go out to war, this is fascinating. It's in Revi. Pasuk Yud says, Kisete machane aleivecha me'nishmarta mikol davara. Means when you go to war against your enemies, me'nishmarta mikol davara. What does exactly mean, me'nishmarta mikol davara? Guess what? The Ramban says what you would think, like really, you know, I don't know, like you want to see Balabatis or whatever. What do you think it means when you go out to war, b'nishmartim mikol davara? He's like, because when armies go out to war, they do literally kol davara. Like that's what armies do when they conquer towns. Rape and pillage, right? They do every imaginable evil. So that's why it says, b'nishmartim mikol davara, because don't be like that. You be careful from kol davara, because that's what the minhag of armies is to do. It's kol davara. You don't do that. Because when you're going to war, people become, you know, there's great achzarias, great cruelty. And then he says, people eat kol taweva, and they steal, and they're chamas, and they don't do niuf. So, and he says, hayasher bivnei adam betivo, even the most straight, naturally straight person, islabish achzarias v'chema betes machana loivav. They'll just become a totally cruel person when they go to war. Therefore, the Sitara says, Mishnamatim Mikol Davara. And the Ramban explains, based on the Medrash, that this is so that the Shekhinah should stay in Klal Yisrael, because that's what we need to win wars. So to have the Shekhinah stay with us, we can't be doing Averos. Hebrew brings, it says, that when it says Mikol Davara, Davara refers to even Lashon Hara. You can't even do Lashon Hara. And I think that's from the Gemara in Makos. Okay, so, you know, there's even Lashon Hara, or maybe it's, right, because especially you don't want Lashon Hara in a machane. Can't do any vera, but even Lashon Hara, don't do that either. Okay, and then it also says that you have to cover a tzoa. And he says, in other words, when you're davening, you can't see tzoa either. He says, "Asilarosa beis hatfilo biyos halev davik b'shem anech." But he can't see tzoa, that's excrement, while you're davening, because b'neshadvarim hanim asum yolidu genai benefesh. Seeing disgusting things causes a genai in the nefesh. Biyashabshu kavanas halev atar. It'll mess up the kavanas halev atar. So that's interesting. Looking at disgusting things is molid a genai benefesh. I don't know if he means it permanently or just while you're looking at it, but it'll mess up your kavanah for sure. That's what he says. Then we have the mitzvah of losask your eved el adonav, which is if a slave runs away from his master, meaning you conquered a nation and then their slave runs away. So don't return it. You know, there's talking about you conquered a goyish nation and then the slave who was there runs to you. So don't return him, even if you get paid, don't return him to his Eved. And he says, the reason is, because if he's running to us, means he wants to be Megayer, so it's not right to return him to his Avodah Zarah, that wouldn't be right. Also, He says the guy could be a spy if you let him back. So don't, you're not even allowed to let him back, sounds like. Okay. And he says, the Chazal, though, make a drasha that this means a Goyish slave of a Yisrael that ran away from Chutz Laretz to Israel. It's owned by a Yid in Chutz Laretz, and then he ran to Israel. You also can't return that guy. Then we have the Lav of Losia Kadesha Mibnos Yisrael, and the Yia Kadesh Mibnos Yisrael. What is that? What's that a Lav for? It's a Lav about Tznos, that's for sure. But what about it? A lady can't be a prostitute, is that what it means? And a man can't do the same. So then, like, why is he got to be a Kaddish? Let's say, the man version. A man does that. A Kaddish is someone who's miyuchad for his nose. A man? So that means a man is mezana with another man. So he's chayv misa immediately. There's no, who cares if he's makudish for it or not? It's a special lav that to be like that. Anyway, Rabban says that this is an ahasaras for Beis Din. This is a lav for Beis Din. Beis Din can't let these people hang around. They can't let there be such a thing. Even if this lady is, you know, she's only being, even if she was only with her, with unmarried people or whatever, there was just, you know, even if she, well, I should have said not married. Even if she's only with people she's technically mutter to be with, it doesn't matter. You can't, Beis Din can't let this thing be. Although, just to be clear, the Rabban says the issue is that they will be mezana with their krovim. But I think he would agree that there'd be a love. There's love anyway, because you can't have this kind of this go on. But again, he's saying it's a lot for Beis Din. Okay, then we have the ribbis. Here we have just an interesting comparison. The Torah tells us we're not allowed to take ribbis from each other, but we are allowed to take ribbis from a nachri. And similarly, I'm not sure how many things, people or places this has been put together, but there's a similar type mitzvah. In both cases, the Rambam holds it's a mitzvah. During Shemitah, after Shemitah, you're not allowed to collect any outstanding debt from Yisrael, unless you did a principal. But otherwise, you can't collect any debts. Yet, from a guy, you are. It says, La Nachri Tigos, you're allowed to collect from him. La Nachri Sashich, you're allowed to collect from a Nachri. So the Rambam says these two are related, meaning to say that there's nothing ethically wrong with doing either one. There's nothing wrong with collecting your loan, and there's nothing wrong with collecting interest. What it is that you don't do that to your brother. We're supposed to have rachmanis on our brothers, on our fellow yidden. And if your fellow yid needs money, you should let him have the money so he can sustain himself. And ribbis, you know, really makes it hard, and it catches up with people. It can mess them up, as we know. So ribbis is just something you do to family. You don't charge your brother interest. You just do it as a chesed. So that's why it's only to Yisraelim, but not to Nachrim. And the same with Shemitah. It's, you know, I always thought of Shemitah's Ksafim as also something to do between you and God. Just like Shemitah, showing that the land belongs to Hashem, and I thought Shemitah's Ksafim was the same. And Rabban says, Hashmita chesed ba'achim, not collecting it as a chesed to your brother. It's the same thing. He says, and it's to be nice to your brother. Then we have the lav of Machzir Grushaso, which is if somebody divorces his wife, he can take her back and remarry her, but if in the meantime she was married somebody else, then you can't take her back. Once she got married to someone else, you cannot then remarry her ever again forever. And the Ramban says, it's just a famous, it's an important Ramban, what's the reason? The reason is because then it'll be open snus season, everybody will just, you know, trade wives, okay? You take my wife tonight, I'll take yours, and there's no issue. No, okay, we'll divorce her. Yeah, we'll all officially get divorced, and tomorrow we'll remarry our wives. No problem. Okay, so then it's Malhar Zima. I'll just be Znus. Everybody just trade wives, divorce, marry, you know, and then she'll just sleep around with everybody. So that's why it can't be. Once she's with someone else, she can't remarry her first husband. Okay, then we have the mitzvah of Zachor Sashir Asher, what the Rabban calls mitzvah of Zachor Sashir Asher Hashem Lekechel Miriam. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam. The Rabban famously here says, in another place here in this parasha, that this is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, I say, every day to say, to remember what Hashem did to Miriam, to remember that there's an Isser of Lashon Hara, and to talk about it. And it's not just an Eitzah, it's a real mitzvah to say it. And this is the source, the Rabban says. This is the source of the Isser Lashon Hara, right here. Remember what he did to Miriam? That's to tell you that you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. And he said, otherwise, how can it be there's no Isser of Lashon Hara, Mefurish in the Torah, so I don't exactly know what it means, it's Lo Selech Rachel Ba'amecha, but I guess he understands that to be just Rechilis only. Anyway, this is the case of Lashon Hara. This is the Daraisa version, so it has to be that it says somewhere in the Torah not to do it. It's such a terrible thing. So this is where we learn it from, and we're supposed to remember what Miriam, because Miriam wasn't trying to harm her brother. She was doing it constructively, and she didn't announce it in the street. She just said it to her brother. All the good reasons, none of them are good enough. Whether you do it privately or publicly, whether you're trying to be Mavaza, the person, or not, doesn't matter. You can't say Lashon Hara anyway. Okay. Now, just almost like Agav, Ramban talks about Malchus in the pasuk about Edom Zomin, Rishiris Harasha, Vistikos Atzadik there. What is the reason why there's 40 lashes? Did you ever hear that question? Why 40? I must have known this at some point, I just don't remember it. Why 40? I mean, we know it's 39, but why 40? The Torah always calls it 40. He says, because the Torah, a person is created, a person's notes are over 40 days, and the Torah was given over 40 days. And this guy violates the Torah that was given in 40 days. He causes Misa to himself, who is Notzer in 40 days. Therefore, he gets Malchus. And then he is Yatzi de Oncho. Maybe it sounds like he should have been killed. And this Malchus takes care of that. So he doesn't have that. The Rambam is quoting this from the Medrash. Okay, that is it.